KLYT Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
ABQ Connect is sponsored in part by Bosque Home Services, heating, cooling, plumbing, roofing, and restoration services. 505-444-7200. That's 505-444-7200. Or on the web at HVACAlbuquerqueNM.com. Bosque Home Services, locally grown, locally owned. Thank you for your support of KLYT and our show, ABQ Connect. Welcome to ABQ Connect. As good a life as we have here in good old Albuquerque, New Mexico, and New Mexico as a state, want to welcome all our listeners from down south in Las Cruces over to Clovis and Cannon Air Force Base and all over New Mexico. Since we're now on KLYT radio, thank you so much for joining us. Despite the good life that we have, there are tragic events unfolding around the world, especially today in Afghanistan. And lest you think we are not on the cutting edge of getting the news, we have former CIA agent, Central Intelligence Agency, and special agent responsible for executing full-spectrum intelligence operations in high-threat areas. At both the United States Air Force and the CIA, Nick McKinley is on the phone with us today. Nick, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, and thanks for covering this issue.
Nick, it is tragic, the things that we see, the things we see in video. Frankly, I have to tell you that I'm confused a little bit about our commander-in-chief and how things are being run and administrated, but we're not going to focus on any of that politics. What we're really going to be talking about today, and you're an expert on the area, and you know how Afghanistan came to where it is today. But before we start, Nick, tell us a little bit about yourself. Welcome back to the airwaves in Albuquerque, and let's catch up on you first. What are you doing now?
Well, thanks. So, you know, I left Albuquerque and moved to Kalispell, Montana. So attending Fresh Life up here now, and continuing to build, deliver fund, and fight the good fight against human trafficking.
Well, there is a lot going on in Albuquerque compared to Kalispell. What brought the move on?
Just that very issue. You know, there's a lot going on in Albuquerque and not a whole lot going on up here. And so, you know, as my wife and I started looking at, you know, where do we want to raise our kids and school systems and those types of things, we just felt that Kalispell was a really good fit for our family.
And I want our listeners to know, Nick, you started off with the United States Air Force as a para-rescue man, which means you like to jump out of airplanes. Again, I mentioned the Central Intelligence Agency. You were recruited as a special agent responsible for executing full-spectrum intelligence operations in high-threat areas at both the United States Air Force and the CIA. And you've been aware, Nick, through that work of the atrocities that humans are capable of and the inadequate to non-existent methods to eradicate the problem. You also attended Harvard University, so I need our listeners to understand you're a guy that's studied a lot. You've been involved in these situations. I guess I have to ask you now, Nick, what is it that we don't realize? Do we not even really maybe understand the capabilities of men and even ourselves to be evil?
Absolutely. I think one of the important things for everybody to understand is the Taliban that you're seeing now on your TV screens and the Taliban that took over is not the Taliban that originally took over Afghanistan in the late 1990s. This is Taliban version 2.0, and they're significantly more brutal, they're better trained, and they're battle-hardened thanks to being at war with us for 20 years. And now, unfortunately, due to the current events, they're very well-equipped because the billions of dollars of military armament that we poured into Afghanistan is now in the hands of that Taliban. Mm. And that's a problem not only for our country, but as we're starting to see, it's a problem for U.S. citizens that are trapped in the country. It's a huge problem for women and children, and it's going to be an increasing problem for Christians in Afghanistan.
Nick, I need our listeners to understand, we're going to have Lenya Heitzik, who's one of the founders of Reload Love. And then in the second half of today, we're going to have Jennifer Santiago and Kelly with Reload Love talk to us a little bit about the Reload Love Afghanistan Emergency Relief Campaign. And Nick, you've worked a little bit with Reload Love, which is a ministry that really goes to areas of the world to help children that are victims of terrorist types of activities. So that's the framework with which we have you on the program today. Nick, let's back up. You started giving us some history about how Afghanistan has gotten to where it is. Tell us about your training, what you're allowed to tell us. I know a lot of things are still probably confidential, but what is it that you know and how you've been trained that gives you insight into all of these things?
I don't actually know it's necessarily the training as much as it is the experience. Mm-hmm. I've got years on the ground in Afghanistan. I did, I was trying to count them up this morning, 6 combat deployments to Afghanistan, and everywhere from the far north all the way to Helmand province in the far south. And I also have a significant amount of time on the ground in Pakistan over to the east. And so it's that experience in dealing with the culture that really informs, the ability to kind of explain what's going on. And we need everybody to understand that when we say, well, you know, Afghanistan is a forever war. Well, Afghanistan is not a forever war. We hadn't lost a single American life in the last 18 months. The peace treaty that was negotiated was being abided by the Taliban. We were really set up for success, and we're setting up the country for success. And think about it this way. And, you know, at the end of World War II, we conquered Germany and Japan and Italy. Yet to this day in 2021, we have troops in every one of those countries. Mm. So 20 years of trying to build up a military, and we can have lots of conversations about whether or not we should have been doing that in the first place. But the point was, is that was the path that the United States of America chose. And so 20 years is just getting started, especially when you're talking about a population that doesn't understand basic colors and is completely illiterate and can't do basic math. So you can't take somebody who is pushing rocks around a desert and then have them ready to fly an F-16 20 years later. It just doesn't work that way. And so when we designed the Afghan military, we designed it as a model around the U.S. military, which is the most powerful military in the history of the world. And that is one of an air-ground coordination. So when the air support was pulled from the Afghan military, it's safe to say they lost about 70% of their combat capability just with that action. And then when you add the corruption that was happening with with all levels of Afghan government, but primarily with the military commanders and the senior leadership within Afghanistan, you ended up with really just a few soldiers left on the ground. And those soldiers chose to run to the mountains rather than fight because they were so outnumbered they knew they would be slaughtered, especially without their air support that we trained them to use.
Well, Nick, I'm going to connect the dots here. You mentioned in your initial comments that we've left armament for the Taliban. They have our weapons, our rifles, our every gun imaginable. They have armament. They have helicopters. And how has all of this just simply been transferred over to them? Or was this left to the military that we trained and then we took away the support and that military has fled? I guess because they're in fear for their lives of not only themselves, but their families. Am I getting this right?
You're exactly right. It's actually the latter. We didn't give anything to the Taliban. We gave it to the Afghan military. The Taliban defeated the Afghan military, ergo, they now have all the equipment. So when we say, well, you know, U.S. military has night vision goggles and we own the night, well, not anymore, because now the Taliban have night vision goggles, right? We own the skies. Well, not necessarily anymore, even though our capabilities are significantly better than theirs. They now have, you know, as you said, they have helicopter gunships and fighter jets. So you had the Taliban, which was really a ragtag resistance to the Afghan military and the Afghan government, is now all of a sudden a player in the national geopolitical chess game. And what that does is it emboldens the Taliban. So now they're emboldened to go after Christians. They're emboldened to go after women and children. I've got plenty of sources and friends who are on the ground in Afghanistan, and they tell me that the Taliban is now ripping women out of cars. They're going door to door, and when they find a teenage girl, they pull her from the family and they give that girl to one of the fighters as a wife. I mean, the human atrocities that are happening and kind of just the sheer disregard for human life is absolutely tragic.
In the midst of this, Nick, you have people that were serving in the military and their families. You have Christian missionaries, I guess, in country. You have native people that are Christians that are involved in various ministries and things. Are their lives literally way beyond in danger? I mean, is it something that we need to get them out of the country?
Well, so absolutely their lives are in danger. I don't know if it's true or not, but we've seen stories being circulated about Afghans who are found with the Bible app on their phone being executed. Most locals know who the Christians are in those predominantly Muslim countries, and so they are you know, going around and finding Christians and then, you know, torturing them and killing them. And so for us, you know, should we get them out of the country? Absolutely. But the military and the government can barely get their people out of the country. So unfortunately, I think the options right now for getting people out of the country are very slim. Really where I think we focus is on supporting the Afghans that do make it to U.S. soil. And I think it's important for people to understand that some of these Afghans coming over here, yes, are true refugees, religious or political, but also, there's so many Afghans who we lived and died by their actions. The interpreters who worked for the U.S. military, the special operations world, the intelligence world, all the Afghans that helped us win the war. And those Afghans, we made promises as a country saying that, you know, they would get the opportunity to leave Afghanistan and come to the United States. And that's what they were working towards. So it's very, very important that we keep our promises. And I mean, we as the American people, yes, you may not have made that promise. I know I did many times, because I was told that's what would happen. And so when those Afghans get here to the United States, many of them had to flee their homes in the dark of night. Many of them lost family members along the way. So when we get here, we need to make sure that their landing is as soft as possible and that they have housing and food and clothing and that they can be introduced into the American system and help to get jobs and really just to start a new life here in America as Americans.
Nick, and you're a Christian man. You have a breadth of experience that none of us could ever possibly even think about having. So we're so blessed that you could share this with you. But the picture you've painted is terrifying to me. It's scary to even hear about. But I hope when we come back after this short break that you'll give us some encouragement, because I know that you have worked with Lenya Hytek and the team at Reload Love, and I'm hoping you can give us some words of encouragement when we come back. We'll be right back with Nick McKinley right after these messages.
We're called to share our faith, but too often we lack the confidence. The Billy Graham Evangelistic Association can help. The Christian Life and Witness Course, This 3-hour class can strengthen you as a Christian and give you confidence in sharing the gospel with others. This class is a lead-in to the Franklin Graham Route 66 God Loves You Tour coming this fall. And it's free. The Christian Life and Witness Course. Dates, locations, and more information are at GodLovesYouTour.com.
As you listen to The Light on KLYT, here's a reminder. It's the support given by businesses like Dom Garcia Realty that make this programming possible. We'd like to thank Dom Garcia Realty for supporting Reaching New Mexico with world-class Bible teaching. Dom Garcia Realty supports KLYT and hopes that you will too. Thanks, Dom Garcia Realty, a full-service brokerage assisting buyers and sellers since 1977. Dom Garcia Realty, 505-899-4644.
Ever imagine being a creative video producer? Maybe serving up cold brew as a barista. Calvary Church Albuquerque is now hiring for multiple positions, including video team, radio, AVL, janitorial, administrative, facilities, and more. If you have a heart to serve Jesus and want your work to make an eternal difference, consider visiting calvarynm.church/jobs to explore the opportunities. That's calvarynm.church/jobs.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We want to thank Ben Lucero and Indigo Mortgage for supporting the ministry of KLYT and ABQ Connect. Indigo Mortgage, 505-836-5700. That's 505-836-5700 or on the web at indigomortgage.net. Thank you, Indigo Mortgage, for your support of KLYT and ABQ Connect. And we are on the phone with former special agent of the Central Intelligence Agency, Nick McKinley. And Nick is working in ministry now. He lives up in Kalispell, Montana. Of course, our listeners are very familiar with Levi Lusco, Pastor Levi and Fresh Life Church. We hear Levi's fresh thoughts all throughout the day here on KLYT. Nick, you're gracious to spend as much time as you are. We only have about another 13, 14 minutes with you. So let's get right to it. You've worked with Lenya and the team at Reload Love. Would you say a word of encouragement to our listeners about getting involved in the current Afghanistan project with Reload Love?
Absolutely. So I have worked with Lenya and the team at Reload Love for quite a while now. And, you know, really when they first wanted to go into northern Iraq and places like that, and one of the great things about, and you could really say this for the whole Calvary ecosystem, but specifically to Reload Love, is just the hunger to do it right. And, you know, I don't really vouch for any organizations outside of my own, but one I can absolutely vouch for is Reload Love. I mean, if you want to make sure that your dollars and your resources are being stewarded in a godly way to help these people, Reload Love is where the smart money is at. And that hunger to do things right, to truly understand, you know, what's effective and what isn't, I think is what sets Reload Love apart.
We're going to have Jennifer and Kelly on our second half hour. If you come back on and listen to us after Nick leaves us, Jennifer and Kelly are going to talk to us. The website is called reloadlove.com, and you can go find out more about the Afghanistan Emergency Relief Campaign, which has really just recently come to life, and we have some real urgency about it. A couple of donors have come forward and said, look, we'll match gifts if you reach 25,000. We're actually pretty close to that. And so literally you could double your money if you help this cause, and it's going to go to some amazing things. But Nick, let's go back to Afghanistan. With your intel on the things that you know, how's your heart hurting? What do you think as you see things like this video in Kabul Airport?
You know, it's been a pretty tough couple of days, I think, for those of us who spend so much of our life there. For, you know, 17 and a half years of government service, actually spent almost 14 of that overseas. So for us to have spent so much of our adult lives on foreign soil and only to come back and kind of wonder what's happening. We made good friends. A lot of those friends now are not answering text messages and not answering phone calls. we're watching what's happening, and it's heartbreaking, and it really takes up a significant amount of our emotional bandwidth, because really when it comes to on the ground in Afghanistan right now, there's really nothing that we can do. It's in the hands of the government, and if you don't own a C-17 and have the authority of the government, there's really nothing you can do. As Christians, we don't just throw our hands up and say there's nothing we can do. We say, all right, Lord, where are you directing us? What can we do right now to solve the immediate need? And the immediate need is that there are going to be dozens to hundreds of Afghan families that are going to eventually leave Doha and Qatar and come here to the United States, and then what? They're most likely not going to have access to their bank accounts, because those are now under the control of the Taliban. They're not going to have really anything. And as I said before, many of them ran from their homes in the dead of night. So the only worldly possessions they have at this moment are the clothes on their back and the shoes on their feet. So I am encouraged by the outcry of support that I've seen from the church, and really living up to its, our, as Christians, our biblical charge to care for the foreigner among us. And these foreigners are going to be dropped on our soil. And I think as Christians and as a church, this is God asking us tangibly, what are we going to do for them? And so this is a real opportunity to show the love of Christ to people who have never before known it.
Nick, you've described the evil that has now permeated the Taliban, different than it was years ago. Do they have any accountability? Is the outcry of the world, our human rights and other kinds of organizations, is the church in America, is there any way to keep them from literally committing genocide and allowing these people to leave the country?
So I don't think the Taliban, and one of the things that we need to understand is kind of who's in charge. So really, it comes down to a man named Ghani Baradar. And he was the best childhood friend of Mullah Omar, who was the leader of Taliban 1.0 that we defeated right after September 11th. And he was, Baradar is who Mullah Omar wanted to take over the country when he was no longer ruling. Well, it took 20 years, but Mullah Omar got his wish. And so Baradar is really the guy calling the shots, and he is significantly more brutal than Mullah Omar was. And so I don't think there's any accountability really. Now, I also don't think that the current Taliban wants to pick a fight with the United States government. So I don't know that they will necessarily be, trying to kill U.S. citizens and not let them out of the country. But Christians, political and religious refugees, those interpreters who helped the U.S., who are still Afghan by citizenship, I would be very surprised to see that they let any number of them leave, and I think that they will be looking to seek retribution. And unfortunately, many Christians and Afghan Christians are going to be, are going to be martyrs. Mm-hmm. And we need to pray for them, and we need to pray that they will, that they will be able to keep the faith even up to their last breath.
Nick, are you afraid or concerned that these events will lead to trouble in other terrorist hotspots around the world?
These events that we are witnessing right now will be revisited on U.S. soil at some point in our generation.
Scary thought. Nick, you're obviously familiar as both serving in the military and with the CIA. You understand the chain of command. And I would say that you probably understand all the way down from the commander-in-chief how that works. But I guess I'm... This is on our list of topics today, but I can't help but ask you a question about, didn't military leaders, didn't our intelligence community tell our president that the the way they were about to do this was going to fall apart and lead to this exact type situation? Is that something you're allowed to communicate when you're in the situation?
Absolutely. In fact, to quote our President Barack Obama, elections have consequences, and we are seeing those directly right now. In July, and this is in the news, you can Google it. In July, the Kabul embassy wrote what is called a dissent cable back to the White House. And it's important to understand that in the military and in the government, if you write a dissent cable, which is essentially saying, I firmly disagree with the decision that is being made, and I'm telling you what the negative consequences of that decision will be. The ambassador and the team in Kabul launched a dissent, or released a dissent cable to the White House where they said this is what was going to happen. And it's important to understand the gravity of a dissent cable, because when you send a dissent cable, you're essentially putting your career on the line. So all of those, you know, career government servants saw it fit to send that dissent cable to inform the White House that if they did the thing that they were saying they were going to do, that this is exactly what was going to happen. And copies of that cable have been released in the news. And I think everybody should go find it and read it so you can know that this was, that what is happening right now was not for lack of trying to prevent it for those on the ground. But at the end of the day, when you are in any level of government service, there is a chain of command and there is a hierarchy, and you can express your dissent with orders, but as long as those orders are not illegal, you ultimately have to follow them. And that is what we're witnessing right now.
How many people would you estimate have their lives at risk right now in Afghanistan?
You know, it's almost an incalculable number. Because you can start with the U.S. citizens that are trapped there, but they have a certain amount of cover with, working for the U.S. government. But then there's all the contractors from other countries who worked there. And there's the contractors, the Afghan contractors who worked for the U.S. government who are still there. And then there's the women and children. We have to look no further than Taliban 1.0 of the 1990s to see how women and children are treated in these regimes. And then just double that level of persecution on these women and children, and that's what we're going to see here. So lives at risk of death, absolutely. But there's also the concept of life, right? The ability to live your life. And every woman and child in the country right now is at risk.
You said it earlier, we all need to pray. And you've given us such a valuable background today, and we could talk another 2 hours and just continue to be fascinated with how we got to this point. Many of us in America complain about our country, Nick, but we're not facing the things that this country is facing. So we should all also approach this with thankfulness for where we are in this country and realize what can happen if we do what God doesn't want us to do. We need to listen to Him. And Nick, I'm grateful that you spent the time with us. I'm sorry that we're out of time, my friend. Hope you'll consider coming back on the show, and maybe we'll follow up with you in October and after some of these events have unfolded, and continue to appeal to the church in America to make sure that we're taking care of refugees and doing all we can to help the people of Afghanistan. Thank you for spending time with us today on ABQ Connect.
Thank you for having me.
And we're going to be back on ABQ Connect with Jennifer and Kelly, and we're going to be talking about the Reload Love Afghanistan Emergency Relief Campaign underway right now. Hope you'll stay with us. We'll be right back.
This is a Fresh Thought. Listen up to Levi Lusco.
So Micah is not bringing us a lot of good news here. But what I've discovered is that you can't discover or experience the power of good news until you understand the reality of bad news. And so while he presents the problem, he more than is aware of the way our hearts would sink thinking about all of this. You can't spend your way out of debt. You can't earn your way back to life. So what do we have? we have the inescapable reality that you can't have a good life without a good shepherd. That's the only way. It's not religion. It's not a good person. The problem of this temptation that we've all given into is that we need substitution. And substitution is what happens when a teacher is sick and they cannot show up to teach their class. Someone else, who that is their job, steps in and is a substitute.
For more fresh thoughts, go to levilusco.com.
Whether at home or in the workplace, we are all leaders. Become a better leader in this leadership moment with Craig Groeschel.
I want to encourage you to watch for where you push back the most. As we cover several different sessions in this teaching, there may be times when you say, oh, I disagree. That doesn't apply to me. Whenever I find myself disagreeing or arguing with someone or saying that's not true for me, that's often a cue that I need to pay very careful attention. Watch for wherever you push back. It's at whatever point that you disagree the strongest that often indicates where you have the most to learn. Whenever I say, oh, no, that's just not true. No, you're completely wrong. It often indicates I don't have the context to know what someone else is talking about. Where you disagree the strongest, it often indicates where you have the most to learn.
That was Craig Groeschel with a KLYT Leadership Moment. Hear more at life.church/leadership podcast.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
CIA Special Agent Nick McKinley graciously spent the first half hour with us framing what is actually happening, giving some background on Afghanistan. And I'm joined in the studio now by Jennifer Santiago and Kelly Bezedik, and they are here talking about Reload Love and the campaign, the emergency relief campaign that Reload Love, a ministry here at Calvary Church, is involved in. And ladies, we're going to find out some amazing things that you're about to do in a very scary area. Welcome to ABQ Connect.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Okay, now, Kelly, I got to get you within about 4 inches of that microphone.
All right.
Makes it easier for you. Jennifer's in a good position. First of all, let's start with what do you do for Reload Love? Jennifer, you go first. You're a co-founder of the ministry.
Yes, co-founder and director of Reload Love. 2013 was when it kind of all started, the idea, the concept, the vision that God put on Lenya's heart. I was working with Lenya in the women's ministry, and I was in charge of the special events manager, but my heart has always been for missions. And so I oversaw the outreach aspect for the women's ministry. And as I spent time in prayer, I just sat with Lenny and I'm like, what would happen if we committed to something for a year? Because we do these little tangible outreaches within the city or different countries for missionaries and stuff, but it was kind of just a one and done type thing. And so we just spent time in prayer. And as time went on, God put the Reload Love concept of taking a bullet, putting it into jewelry and helping children impacted by terrorism. And it's just the whole redemption story of taking something that was meant for evil and turning it into something good. And we all can agree around the concept that babies and bullets don't mix.
Babies and bullets don't mix. Jennifer and Kelly, you both look great, but I know you've been putting in some serious hours. And we kind of, you came in and you were listening to our conversation with Nick. Kelly, what do you do for the ministry?
So I am our production and marketing manager, which means I'm basically over all things jewelry related, whether that's working with our manufacturers or volunteers who help us finish off the pieces, to retailers, just everything jewelry. Yeah. All the time.
And it really is neat jewelry. In fact, I don't remember what Lenya called the cross, but I have three daughters, so I've bought some Reload Love jewelry for them and some other friends that have really enjoyed it. But everybody likes the crosses with kind of like the leather strap, and there was a cool history and everything. And we're going to talk to Lenya on Monday about this whole campaign and everything. So it's fun to know the background on all of this. What kind of missions experience do both of you have? Kelly, you go first.
So my missions experience started about 25 years ago. I lived in a very large, major metropolitan city in the U.S. with a huge international population. And we had, the church I attended had a very, very robust missions program, both overseas and with nationals in the U.S., with unreached people groups on American soil. And so during that time, I started doing a lot of short-term mission trips, but eventually one of those was a summer in Spain where we worked with North African Muslims going into Europe and got to share the Bible and other materials in their heart languages. So that was probably where I really gained a heart for the Muslim, just Muslim people in general. When I came back, the Lord put me in a position where I was able to be really embedded in an Arab community. I would work with them all day long and then come home and oftentimes spend my weekends with them. So even though it was in the U.S., it was really frontline mission, so to speak. A lot of them were having dreams and visions and wanted to know about the Bible and asking questions and things like that. So again, that just grew my love for the Muslim people. And then at the same time, I had been exposed through a different job to the whole issue of sex trafficking, human trafficking. That was just starting to kind of become a big political issue. And I ended up starting a jewelry business to work with girls coming out of human trafficking and eventually moved to Thailand to do that there, partnering with a church, a Thai church that helped the girls. And so we partnered with them to make our jewelry. So that's how I ended up doing jewelry here.
No,
it's been a very interesting roundabout road.
What's interesting is you have a heart for the people, but you also have the background to know how to try to fund doing some ministry and helping people with that.
Yeah.
So what a great marriage that is.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer, how about you? Do you have a lot of missionary experience?
So for me, my heart, I had a heart for Africa when I was a little girl. I don't really understand. I'm a small town girl, but God just kind of let me see behind the veil that there was a whole other world out there to discover, and I just had to grow up so that I could get out there and discover it. But once leaving home, college, I felt like the Lord was calling me to School of Ministry. I heard about the School of Ministry at Calvary Albuquerque, and so I attended the School of Ministry for a year. We were required to go on the mission field for a month, and so I did short-term missions through that avenue. Being a part of a team, but then leading teams after I graduated and received my certificate, and then led teams to Malaysia. And my husband and I led an emergency relief team after 9/11 to Ground Zero. And then through praying and asking God to open up the door for outreach was part of the praying of how Real Love came about, that it was a heart's cry for literally almost 15 years. And God answered that prayer in Reload Love. And going back to Kelly, whenever Linnea and I started Reload Love, we launched in 2014. It was the two of us, and she had other things she needed to do. And I was just praying, Lord, send help, send help. And so I didn't know Kelly at the time. But the specific things that I was praying for, Kelly, was all of it. She had the list of the background and the heart. And so it truly is this sisterhood between Lenya, Kelly, and I. And we had another coworker. Her family moved to Texas. It's almost been 2 years now, Jolene Baca. So yeah, it's just been so amazing and so beautiful for God to bring four women from different backgrounds and have the same heart to fulfill this mission that God put on our heart.
And I am glad you're sharing this background, because I want our listeners, you know, people are sitting in their kitchen right now, having a little lunch, or they're, you know, doing housework, or the, maybe they're relaxing, or they're in their office at work. Mm-hmm. But as you talk about this, they have the same things on their heart that you've had, and they do need to start praying.
Yes.
And if they have the same calling and vision that you've just expressed, they need to call you and become part of Reload Love.
That's right, yes.
Is there more for people to do? Are you using volunteers and things like that?
We do locally. For those that live locally here in Albuquerque, we have volunteers that come, cut bullets, prep them for the jewelry, and then once the jewelry is complete with our local manufacturer, they can assemble them and then tag and bag. And then for special fundraising events like we're doing this weekend, and then also our Love Bomb weekend that we do every February around Valentine's Day, that's when we call in the troops and ask them to help with these fundraisers. But abroad, there's not opportunity there right now. But the best way to get plugged in, if you don't live here locally, is to go to reloadlove.com. Follow us on Instagram or Facebook at iReloadLove, and just follow and pray. And then also there's always the opportunity to donate to become one time and or monthly.
Kelly, how do people buy jewelry to support the ministry?
ReloadLove.com for sure. That's the best way. You'll see everything on there. One thing I was just going to back up and say, another way people can participate if they don't live in the area is by donating their spent bullet casings.
Yes.
We have information on our website if they want to do that, especially if you're somewhere else in the country. We can still receive them, but we have to talk about logistics of it depending on how many. I know that's hard right now. Ammunition is in short supply and lots of people are reloading themselves. But if they want to share with us, we'd be glad to take them. And then another way that I've been thinking about recently is for our audience that is outside of Albuquerque. Ladies, if you have a favorite boutique that you like to shop at, tell them about us.
Yes.
Or get us in contact. And mm-hmm. we just came back from a big market selling our jewelry, and it was really successful, and that was wonderful. But it just reminded me that people all around the country are interested. And so that's a way for our female audience that they can participate too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to call out some Christians that I know that have been sponsors of our programming here. I'm going to call out John Thomas Jewelers.
Okay.
I mean, these guys are really, really well known in the community. They yeah. do a lot of repairs for literally most of the jewelry stores in Albuquerque. I mean, they know what they're doing. And they're not going to view this as competition. They're going to view this as a blessing.
Right.
You come in and buy a Reload Love pendant, or you buy the mm-hmm. cross that I mentioned. They know that money's going to go directly to helping the ministry. But I promise you, mm-hmm. at least if this is like my daughters, if they go into a jewelry store, they're not buying one thing.
Right.
So I mean, it could really be something that would enhance right. their business as well. And that's never the motive. But I think that's a great idea, Kelly. Strong work there, young lady. Hey, we're going to get back and talk very seriously about all the events in Afghanistan. I'm fascinated with the whole process that you go through to decide, yeah, we're going to go help people in Afghanistan. You're connected with CIA agents like Nick McKinley, who we just visited with. And so this is – it's scary. It's fascinating how God's brought you together with CIA agents and your team together with Reload Love. So we're going to talk more about that. I hope you'll stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
The most important information anyone can receive comes from an understanding of the Bible. Only here do we find direct revelation about all things related to life and relationship with God. Life does not always provide us with time or opportunity to break away and study the Bible full time. That's why KLYT is dedicated to presenting round-the-clock teaching by some of the best communicators we can find about Scripture and how it relates to our lives. We need to be exposed to the full counsel of God's Word. KLYT presents the Bible School of the Air with a new time. Each Saturday, starting at 12, KLYT will present through the Bible verse-by-verse teachings by Chuck Smith, Skip Heitzig, and Chuck Missler, followed by a question-and-answer session with Scott Richards. We will continue rotating through the Old and New Testament. Drop into our Bible journey at any time and go through the entire Word of God with us. The KLYT Bible School of the Air. Tuition is free. The rewards are eternal. Saturdays at 12 on 88.3 FM.
Hi, this is Adam Holtz, and you're listening to Plugged In.
Time to suit up. Paw Patrol, ready for action, riders, sir.
In Paw Patrol, the movie, now in theaters and streaming on Paramount Plus, Nickelodeon's hit animated kids show jumps to the big screen. The Paw Patrol is a group of five puppies living in the city of Adventure Bay. They're led by a boy named Ryder, and the team doggedly seeks to protect and serve, even when the humans they help underestimate their abilities. Now, their longtime nemesis, Humdinger, has become mayor. Cue the comedic chaos. Apart from some mild peril, and Humdinger losing his pants, kids will be encouraged by positive themes like friendship, courage, acceptance, and teamwork. So we're giving Paw Patrol, the movie, a 4.5 out of 5 for family friendliness. Read the full review at PluggedIn.com/radio. I'm Adam Holtz for Focus on the Family's Plugged In Movie Review.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Jennifer Santiago, the director of Reload Love, and Kelly Bezedick are in studio with me this afternoon. Kelly is the marketing production manager, handling mainly the jewelry. You all have been involved in all kinds of projects. Tell us about a few of those.
Sure. So I think one of my favorite projects/trips was probably mine and Linya's first trip when we went to kind of just see what was out there. We were on the ground in Thailand and Myanmar, Burma, and Cambodia. And it was just amazing to meet one of our he actually became our first partner, who is now our forever partner and brother with the Free Burma Rangers. And so with them, they, part of their mission is they go to the front lines to literally rescue people that are being attacked by the Burma army. And so they have a program called the Good Life Club, and it's basically like a little day-long VBS that we would think of here that we have at churches for the summers. And so we come alongside them to provide all of the supplies that they need to walk, literally hike through the jungle to all of these villages that have been pummeled by the enemy. And they are able to share the gospel through skits and play, snacks. They also come with a medic who will care for the people that are wounded or hurt in any way. And so, that was one of my favorite projects, just probably because it was the very beginning and our first experience on the ground with Reload Love. But it's an ongoing thing that we do in partnership. And then in Iraq, we've been able to provide several safe places like playgrounds and education for children, buses to take the kids to and from school. And again, we're still in contact with those people and their ongoing projects.
Reload Love is a ministry that provides trauma relief, medical supplies, academic programs, and safe spaces such as playgrounds for children victimized by terrorism. But Jennifer, terrorism, where that happens, is really, really scary. You're doing work in scary places.
Yes.
And you're blessing people, parents. You're taking care of children. What a calling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's amazing because my first trip to Iraq, I had a friend I ran into, and she was what you're saying. She's like, that's scary. This is how you know it's your calling and not mine. And my job is to stay home and pray for you to come back home safe. Yeah. And it's so crazy because I never feel afraid. Every time I'm getting on that plane and I'm heading out, I don't feel afraid. And I don't think because I'm holier than anyone. It's just when it's part of who you are, who God made you, and part of your calling, there is no fear in that.
I have to ask you about your husband, though. Is he supportive?
Absolutely, 100%. And he's known this about me since we met and got engaged, and he knows that this has always been my heart. It's been our heart to do it together. He prays over me, and, you know, we have 2 children, and we've been very real and honest with them about what I do and where I'm going and what it's about. They've seen the photos and all of that, and they're just the little prayer warriors being a part of it. Literally walked through the ISIS tunnels, the disaster in Sinjar. You walk the streets and you can't even begin to think, where do they start? How can they start over? Literally, if you think of walking down Central in Albuquerque and all of the buildings are just like rubble, where do you even start? But again, God brings us back, and it's with this message of love. We're reloading love. And even if it's as simple as a bottle of water, shoes, clothing, snacks, games, and then obviously if we end up getting to put a playground there, It's amazing how God brings that full circle.
Yeah. Kelly, you have a favorite project that comes to mind?
Yes, I have two that definitely stand out. One of them was in Jordan. We have a pastor there that's a really great partner, and we've sent a couple of our teams from Albuquerque at different times to go there, and we just love working with him. Really wonderful man, godly man. And they're working with Syrian refugees mm-hmm. that had escaped ISIS and come right over the border into his town in Jordan. And we had built a few different playgrounds for them, but one that was so meaningful was an adaptive playground for kids with special needs. And we got to meet some of those families prior to the playground being built. I have a cousin who had a son with severe seizure disorder who passed away recently. And to see her life and what, you know, it's a hard life having a child with special needs. Blessed in a different way, you know, but hard at the same time. And so to see these moms who were refugees with nothing, oftentimes living in a one-room home. That's it, one room. Some of them didn't even have front doors. They would have a sheet hanging for their front door. To be under the stress of being a refugee, having escaped with nothing, they're there, they don't have jobs. It's such a hard life being a refugee. And on top of that, to have a child with a severe disability, I couldn't even fathom. So this playground was such a blessing to them. And it was just incredible for those moms and such a ministry tool mm-hmm. for our pastor friend there to really be able to show them the love of Christ very, very tangibly. Mm-hmm. So that was really special.
Extra special. What are your conversations and prayer time with Lenya and the rest of your team look like as you're thinking about going and helping in Afghanistan?
Yeah, I know. It sounds crazy, but that's exactly it. We pray for God to open a door that is seems impossible. The scariest places, the places that people don't want to go, usually the ones that people are fleeing from.
And you can't get a plane flight to Afghanistan.
No.
But then you have a guy like Nick McKinley who has connections in the CIA. Mm-hmm. That's a God thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, from the beginning of Reload Love, we've wanted to get into Afghanistan and the door has not opened. And when I have these conversations, whether with, you know, Kelly and Lenya and or our partners like Nick and various partners, we kind of sometimes in the conversation, I'm like, but if God opens the door in Afghanistan, I mean, last year he opened the door in Nigeria, and that was, again, a God thing quickly happened unexpectedly. And though we may not ourselves, the three of us, be able to go in and be there, we are there in spirit and heart mm-hmm. and on our knees in prayer. But the opportunities we have had to go on the ground and be there with them is amazing. I think it just starts with that, where we because our mission is children impacted by terrorism, those are the places we pray for. And then we pray for open doors.
The situation now has a lot of urgency. Your project is called the Reload Love Afghanistan Emergency Relief Campaign. Mm-hmm. How can people support the campaign?
So they can go to reloadlove.com and make a donation. Right now, our first step in this mission, this project, is to raise the funds, because the need is going to be so huge for those that were listening to Nick, hundreds of families that were able to flee. And now they need to be relocated. They literally had to flee with the clothes on their back. They couldn't take anything. They don't have U-Hauls. They're just like, they've got to get out, and they were running for safety. And so, our job is to raise the funds so that as these families are being relocated, we can provide food, shelter, clothing, water, the basic essentials. And it is also our hope it is our hope when things settle down, we then can reconnect with our partners that are on the ground and meet those urgent needs. And that's actually where we started in June when the door opened for us to go into Afghanistan. It was to bring food aid to 110 families that were already, Internally displaced. I was going to use the acronym.
Oh.
Displaced IDPs. They were already displaced in Afghanistan from the Taliban before the whole eruption that happened this past weekend. And they were also facing the third hit of the pandemic. And so food was already sparse. And so we were going to help with food aid there. And again, what happened on Saturday and Sunday, we had to pivot because the need changed.
And you suddenly don't have communication with people that you had communication with just a couple weeks ago.
That's correct. Yes, all communication has stopped for their safety, and we cannot contact them at this point.
People in New Mexico might have a little apprehension about the word refugees because, for example, our state has had a lot of illegal immigration. We've had a lot of crime as a result. And human beings are flawed, mm-hmm. every one of us, and I don't want that to be a judgment about immigrants that have come into this country legally or illegally to this point. I do think people need to come into the country legally, but I want to now focus on refugees. We're largely talking about people that have been working and assisting Americans in a war-torn area. There has been peace for almost the last 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an interesting thing, and we can get into the politics of that. I have my own opinions, which I'd probably get in trouble voicing, but I find that decisions that are made by people that don't know anything about the situation, which sometimes I think happens in the very highest of offices, if you know what I mean. So there has to be something that's going to correct the situation, and people like you are, they have a heart to help the people that are in trouble. So I guess, Jennifer, again, let's talk about reloadlove.com. Kelly's already talked to us about buying jewelry, and that's another way people can help, and people need to pray. Is there information available on the website about the project?
Yes. So, again, if they go to reloadlove.com, there's information there, and there is information on Instagram or Facebook at ireloadlove.com. And basically, we're raising money to bring emergency relief and help with the relocation of these families. And real quick, just to touch on your comment, for us, because we are Christians, and yes, there are all of the political things and all of the eruption of questions and fear and all of that. But for us, Reload Love, we do not make decisions based on fear or comfort. That is part of our mission statement, in that we want to help those that God sees that are oppressed and are the least of these, the most vulnerable. And in the Bible, it talks about caring for those, the least of these, and that is pure and undefiled religion. And also just God says that he is the refuge for those who are oppressed. And true hospitality is giving water, opening your home, opening your love, opening what you have to strangers. Oftentimes in America, we think hospitality is, I'll have my friends and family over and we'll have a great time or we'll have a great dinner. And actually, it's to strangers and those that are in need.
You've been praying about helping Afghanistan, and this is just really the very beginning of it.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be all kinds of things, circumstances developing, and Reload Love is there ready to respond.
Yes.
Yes.
And people can keep up with the situation. Again, I don't know anything except I know how to get on Facebook. So talk to us a little bit more about the social media access. One
yes.
more time.
So at iReloadLove is for Facebook and Instagram, or our website, reloadlove.com.
Jennifer and Kelly, thank you. God bless your work. Time to go home and get a little rest for you, too. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
ABQ Connect is presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling, 505-444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KLYT.
The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of staff or management at KLYT. If you missed any or part of today's show, the podcast can be found at abqconnect.online.